San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He is an accomplished marathon runner. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished and best-selling author and a family office advisor advising several high-net-worth families. Richard Muzio, how are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. It's good to be here.
I forgot to mention, we have an app for 760 KFMB. We're moving into the 21st century with Reckless Abandon.
14 years later.
No, it's been running. And of course, we stream live on 760KFMB.com. And all the podcasts could be heard on iymoney.com. So how do you like that? Hey, Blackhawks, how about that? You've been following the NHL? I know you're not a hockey fan.
No, soccer and hockey, forget about it.
All right, well, okay. I'll be at Rosie O'Grady's tomorrow night if anybody wants to come down. There's a bunch of crazies watching the Blackhawks Game 7. And we've got the Miami Heat. Looks like Sherry Arison's team is going to do pretty well, maybe.
They're in the finals.
Yeah, there you go.
Can't win it unless you're in the finals.
And who are they opposing? Do we know yet?
Let's see. Game 6 of San Antonio. Oklahoma City is going on right now.
Okay.
San Antonio's up 3-2.
So we'll find out about that. And the Padres won 2 from the White Sox at Chicago.
Wow.
Yesterday.
The White Sox must be really bad.
I don't know about that. I'm going to look up their record. But anyway, you want to talk about the Rock and Roll Marathon a little bit before we get into the show?
Yeah, since I probably won't be able to speak after I'm done running tomorrow. I'm just doing the half marathon. They're expecting 30,000 runners this year.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, goodness sakes.
Don't they get a lot of absentees, though?
About 10% of the people who sign up don't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a nice business to be in.
Then another good running event. This Thursday night at 5:30 at the Old Balboa Stadium, the 50th anniversary celebration of Jim Ryan being the first ever high school boy to break the 4-minute barrier.
Huh.
High school runners and so on go off, I think, at about 5:30. Jim Ryan, I believe, speaks around 7:30, and then the elite runners, the masters. I'm running the mile in the celebrity media division.
This is Thursday night.
Thursday night, the Old Balboa Stadium starts at about 5:30, finish up about 9:30 or 10.
And
it's called Bring Back the Mile. Competitor.com, and then type in Jim, competitor.com/Jim Ryan. He spells it R-Y-U-N.
Why is he coming to San Diego? Was there any connection between him and San Diego, California?
No, he actually set the record, I think, in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh. Is he from here?
No.
Okay. I know the names. I mean, he was the big deal back in the day.
But, you know, Balboa Stadium was sort of the epicenter of the 1 mile distance back in the 60s and 70s when track was at its peak.
Huh. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got two important guests tonight, so I think we should...
Let's start.
We should start. Well, our first guest tonight...
Speaking about running.
Yeah. last week was Bob Brewer running for DA, and tonight we have a woman who is running for the county clerk, assessor, and recorder position. I don't know if I got those in the right order, but she's an accomplished attorney, and her name is Susan Gwynn. So Susan, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. It's great to have you here. You're in a dogfight, right? The polls are pretty close from what I see, right?
We are neck and neck.
Yeah, there we go. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and who you are before we get into the job itself and what you'd like to bring to it?
Well, I've been a consumer rights attorney for 22 years. My firm was one of the firms that started the tobacco litigation and got a $3.3 billion settlement that went to county government.
That's billion with a B, right?
Billion with a B.
Okay.
And to education and all those good things. And I've been working pro bono probably 75% of my time since I was 40, which sadly is 8 years ago.
Hmm.
To benefit the county.
I didn't ask your age. That's okay. I never would have guessed that. Hi. Not at all. So, anyway.
Well, thank you.
So, the law firm was down in San Diego or L.A. or Orange County?
We have offices here in Orange County.
Oh, wonderful. So, grew up where and went to school where?
I grew up outside the city limits in Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. and went to nursing school at the University of New Mexico and law school at the University of Denver, and have been in San Diego for, about 24 years.
Hmm. Wow. Nursing to law.
What got you interested in public office?
It's an extension, really, in the pro bono work I've been doing for the last 8 years. Hmm. I see this office as an incredible opportunity to do wonderful things for San Diego County.
Hmm. So a lot of people don't know what the county clerk, recorder, assessor, I mean, that's a lot of titles. Probably a big staff, right? How many would be working with you?
Super sexy title.
Yeah.
Let's see, there are 410 staff people, about a budget of between 60 and 65 million.
Yeah.
And the assessor's office oversees all of the property valuations, business and residential valuations here in San Diego. That's about $400 billion with another B.
Huh.
And the recorder's office is every document from cradle to grave, and the clerk's office is marriage licenses and some other licenses.
Hmm. Wow.
It's critical.
Quite a job. So your background, how does it qualify you for this job? Obviously, there's a lot of hats you wear and there's a lot of qualifications. I mean, the assessor part and all that.
Well, my background, I've had thousands of property assessments because I've represented hundreds and in some instances thousands of families and businesses related to their property valuation. So I'm very, very good at it.
Hmm.
In addition, I have lots of experience managing millions of documents, if you can imagine the types of litigation that I've had.
Hmm.
So I bring a lot of different skills to this office.
But backing up to assessment, some of our listeners might not know, you mean that when, for example, the county is assessing a certain value, say with a piece of real property, and the owner disagrees, they appeal, for example? That's what you mean by representing?
Well, two different questions.
Okay.
One is, yes, if someone disagrees with their property valuation, mm-hmm. they appeal it.
Okay.
And that's one of the ways that they can get a reduction in their property value. As far as my background, when people have had catastrophic losses,
okay.
including their homes burning in fires or other types of losses, and they've been unable to work something out or the insurance companies haven't paid them, I have helped them rebuild and get back to work.
Gotcha.
Now, I see some of your priorities are, you know, protecting taxpayers from overpayment. Have there been some egregious situations where they have been overpaying that under the current clerk that you think you can rectify?
Absolutely. Under the current, the incumbent, it's unfortunately very tilted towards the uber, uber wealthy. And the other 99.9%, mm-hmm. unfortunately, are not getting
Fair treatment.
Hmm. The current assessor's been overturned between 86 and 91% of the time for overtaxation. So when you go in and appeal it and you go to the next level, they're overturning him because he is not treating people fairly.
Hmm. How many terms has he been in there? I'm not even sure myself.
He's only been in one term. Which is far too long.
One and done. Okay. Anyway. And then let's see.
But isn't it also true that on appeals that San Diego County is really, really slow at processing?
Yes.
I've read that somewhere.
You're right. Those are in audited records for the state. San Diego County rates the second worst county in the entire state. So 57 out of 58 for the highest backlog of property assessment.
When you're number two, you try harder or something.
But two from the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah, we're number 47, Richard. Come on.
And
you're the accountant here.
Is that because of the culture of the office? Is it because they're mired in paper and they aren't in the 21st century? I mean, why is that pathetic result the case?
Well, the prior assessor, Dave Butler, in 2010, to give you an idea, got through 42,580 assessment appeals and left about 20,000 appeals on the table.
Okay.
The current assessor last year only got through 12,000 appeals and left 14,000 plus on the table.
Whoa.
So he's not doing a very good job. Certainly, he's raised the number of staff. He's raised his budget by 19%. So he's got the staff. He's got the budget to do it. Unfortunately, it doesn't appear to be his priority.
Hmm. That is unfortunate. Well, look, we'll get more into this with Susan Gwynn running for county clerk, assessor, recorder. We're going to take a little break right now. We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. Take it away, Mike.
Hello.
Now, It's Your Money and Your Life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with more with Susan Gwynn, running for county clerk, recorder, assessor. And how about Ernest Dronenberg's customer service, your opponent? We were talking at the break. Leave something to be desired, would you say?
Well, I love that he's touting that recently he's got a 98% customer service, because essentially that amounts to he's got a little box on his counter that you can put an index card in, and guess who goes through those to decide if they're positive, negative, or legible? It's junk in, junk out. Ridiculous.
The methodology is important, right?
Well, folks who wanted marriage licenses under Prop 8 weren't really happy with the customer service, were they?
Well, no, you may recall that this particular clerk, after the Supreme Court ruling last year, when all of the other clerks in the state started issuing marriage right. licenses, he filed a lawsuit trying to block it statewide, and he hired the lawyer that actually put Prop 8 on the ballot, represented the proponents of Prop 8 all the way to the Supreme Court, and hired him to block it statewide. Hmm. Certainly not an accident.
And he lives in Fallbrook, and we've heard that he's not even in the office that much. Is that, I mean, have you heard this through the grapevine?
We've heard it from his staff that he's out on a lovely flower farm back in Fallbrook, and seldom makes it all the way downtown to the office.
Hmm, that is a little bit of a trek, isn't it? Anyway, and then we come to find out there's an SNL scandal that he was involved with. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, I just read that. I was surprised to learn that apparently he was the director of a savings and loan that was seized by the FBI for apparently some fraudulent investment scheme. You'd have to look at that yourself. I haven't seen that one yet.
Hey, back to the office, though. You know, I'm a CPA, so sometimes we have to deal with the department, so to speak. Is it true there's still microfiche being used for storing file?
Incredibly, yes. Incredibly, yes. You see the microfiche in those old black and white movies?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like developed back in 1906 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's still where, if you're searching for your marriage license or birth certificate or warranty deed on your property, millions of those are stored on microfiche.
And you're going to fix that problem? Because that's a problem, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a huge problem. We need to modernize that office so that we can free up people, get them out from behind the desk and out into the community to help people.
So you said your experience includes handling millions of documents with regard to court proceeding?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And by the way, not through microfiche.
Right. I was going to say, I figured it wouldn't be through microfiche.
So you're going to throw out all the rotary phones, basically, once you get in there, right?
And the 8-track machines as well.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that needs to be done.
Now, what about this tobacco tax? He was against tobacco taxes, basically, or?
Yeah, he voted against a raise in the tobacco tax when that was an issue for the state. And of course, as you know, I fought big tobacco, so I just can't understand, other than for political reasons, why he would have done that.
Yeah. We're doing pretty well against tobacco right now as far as educating people, I guess. And wouldn't you say we've done a lot better? Smoking rates are down.
You bet. One of the big issues in our settlement is we fought to get rid of Joe Camel and the billboards and stop tobacco from advertising in kids' magazines. Mm-hmm. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know, we have this vape thing coming on, but I guess they're clamping down on the vape thing, too. I don't know how we're getting into this. I don't know if it has to do with the county recorder, assessor, clerk position, but
Susan, the office is considered to be sort of aloof by a lot of taxpayers. Do you have any plans to, like, do any kind of outreach or educational activities to make this thing a little bit better understood?
Absolutely. It's the economic engine for San Diego County. For most of us, our property and certainly our businesses are the main net worth that we have. This office is critical to the health for families and businesses. And you bet, I'll be out from behind the desk, and so will staff. We'll be out in the communities, whether it's in schools, churches, community centers, with our laptops, helping people to make sure they only pay their fair share.
Have you examined the website at all, and do you see any room for improvement there as far as the San Diego County?
Yes, I have, and unfortunately, I don't think your show is long enough to discuss all of the things that need to improve down there.
I'm looking at the city clerks now. I'm at the wrong one. But anyway, well, that's, you know, technology today, you know, you have to have it or, you know, you fall by the wayside. Maybe we should look at what L.A. and other counties are doing and try to emulate what they're up to. So,
do you have any plans in terms of efficiencies in the budget, for example, by modernizing or becoming an office that has less paper and microfiche floating around? I mean, is that something that you're able to quantify in terms of estimates?
Well, there are many things that could be done, and I've reached out already to some of the assessor offices throughout the state and have been looking at some of the best practices across the country. And there are certainly many offices that you can access your documents and, you know, pull up those warranty deeds and take a look at them. Actually fill in your assessment appeals online and mm-hmm. have that turnaround be much quicker. San Diego is so behind the times.
Well, because I noticed, for example, on appeals of property taxes, for example, there are CPAs and services that do this because it's almost like it's too difficult for a taxpayer to figure out. And I can understand it might be difficult for a taxpayer to get comparable data about what things might be worth, but it shouldn't be that difficult to fill out a form, in my humble opinion.
And frankly, it shouldn't be difficult to get comparable data. I mean, we should make all of that information available.
It should be public, right?
It should be public. It should be easy and easily accessible.
Will you be debating him at all in any forums between now and the election, or is it we're in the home stretch and that's not happening?
Well, let me say this. Mr. Dronenberg, anytime, anywhere, I'm so looking forward to debating you.
So he has
all right. Accepted. The challenge has been put out there. So.
You know, I have invited him. Unfortunately, it has not happened. I will continue to invite him, and I hope that he takes me up on it. We've been at a couple of candidate forums, and I don't think he's enjoyed that.
Excellent. So. The polls are pretty close, right? I mean, it's neck and neck, wouldn't you say?
We are neck and neck, which is a testament to everybody out there that once they hear how the office is doing, they hear that he unfortunately abused his elected position to try to block marriage equality. I mean, why filed a frivolous lawsuit, wasted taxpayer money? Mm-hmm. I mean, put your head down, do your work. I think as soon as people realize how bad he's doing and that he used it for his own personal agenda, they are coming out for me.
Irritated.
Hey, well, can I ask you a question about your community involvement and charity?
Absolutely.
You've got a really cool charity called, I think it's Kids Eco Club, am I right?
That's right. Started it with my son when he was 9. He's 13 now.
Can you tell us about that? Because I was checking it out. It's really neat.
Thank you. Last year provided free services to over 20,000 kids throughout the county. This year we're already at over 30,000, and it's field trips, it's labs, it's camping, it's all of these fantastic things. It got Nonprofit of the Year last year for San Diego Unified School District.
Yeah, it's neat because schools don't have as much money as they used to support some of the stuff that people say is ancillary, but it really isn't ancillary.
No, it isn't. And we have some amazing, amazing teachers out there that just need a little bit of help.
Right.
Well, Richard, you have a pretty good foundation yourself that helps out schools, right?
Well, it's important to be active in your community, Joe, but it's just amazing how little, the budget issue with schools, let's not go there. Let's just not go there. It's neat that there are people out there who are willing to pick up that slack.
You know, someday we're going to do a show on the lottery because I know when they sold that lottery to the public, it was supposed to be the panacea for all the budget and money issues facing our school system. And all these years later, where it seems like the schools are still suffering and the lottery is, you know, flying high, I guess. So, I mean, don't you recall that? Right?
To me, it's just government bureaucracy.
Yeah. It's too much bureaucracy.
You remember that, though, Richard, how they sold it to the public?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I think you know, my father was a school administrator, and he was so against.
That's why they have bingo in churches now, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's gotten to that. But anyway. So any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I mean, how can our listeners find out more about your campaign? Do you have a website?
Thank you. My website is SusanGuinn.com, and that's G-U-I-N-N. And we desperately need volunteers right now. We can win this race if we just get out the vote. Apparently, the poll said 40% of the people are still undecided. So I hope you heard me tonight and that you'll share this podcast and that you've decided. Because Tuesday's the day to vote.
Tuesday is also my birthday, just so everybody knows. I mean, in case anybody wants to send a present or anything, I'm just...
Vote for Richard on his birthday.
Yeah, vote for me on my birthday. I'm not running for anything.
Write you in for something.
So how many volunteers do you need?
We need a couple hundred volunteers.
Okay. Well,
is that too many
then.
To ask?
No, it's not. So Susan needs a couple hundred volunteers. Everybody
course,
just bring a friend.
Yeah, and if you do finish in the top two, and it's looking likely that at least it's a good likelihood, he'll have to debate you at some point, right? In the home stretch from between now and November, right? I would hope.
Well, I'm going to keep showing up where he's at, so I think eventually that's just a matter of time.
Maybe we'll go out to Fallbrook or whatever, and we'll have a big guacamole party right outside his property or something. I don't know.
I'm in.
Something.
Hey, look, if we could quit dealing with paper down at that office, I'm going to be a happy guy.
Anyway.
Because I hate paper.
Anyway, Susan Guinn, good luck with the campaign here. And everyone get out there and vote on Tuesday. We've got to take a break right now. We'll come right back with more It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. Hang on.
Now Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with the second half, It's Your Money, Your Life, the award-winning It's Your Money. I forgot to get that into the promo, Mike. We've got to work on that. But
it's three-time first-place award-winning.
Absolutely. The best radio series in San Diego. We do one great hour a week as opposed to 15 mediocre ones. I like that. I like our odds. Over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
By the way, everybody, vote for Susan Gwynn because, trust me, that office needs some serious improving. I'm a CPA, so I get to have to deal with that office with great frequency, and boy, I'd rather go have a root canal. Anyway, thank you to UBS, Mr. Michael Karanta and Drew Freitas. We couldn't do it without you gentlemen. Right across the street from UBS, across Prospect Street in lovely downtown La Jolla, the best business bank in San Diego, that's Regents Bank, Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here in San Diego. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow from their real estate investments. Are they going to ever turn that music off? Our favorite CPAs on the planet.
I kind of like it.
I like it too. Paul Polito, CPA, and Don Epic, CPA up in Vista, did a great show a couple weeks ago with our buddy Rick Day. That was a really amazing show. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, Business Valuation and Risk Mitigation Services, helping business owners understand the risks that drive their results much, much better. The Lombardi Group, helping CPAs and wealth advisors become the most trusted advisor to their very best clients. They have a great continuing education event coming up on June 16th, 17th, and 18th at La Costa. And last but not least, Brenda Geiger with the Geiger Law Offices. She's got a great continuing education event coming up on this Friday, which is June the 6th. Or is that Thursday? Hang on a second. What day is June 6th?
6th is Friday.
6th is Friday. Yes. Okay. That's it.
Going to the Padres game.
But it's a continuing education event, and I'm going to be one of the speakers, and it's at an amazing place, the Museum of Making Music in Carlsbad.
It's also D-Day, isn't it?
I think it is. So anyway.
Anyway, how do we find our sponsors, Richard?
Joe, we've got a great website. Courtney Lauver with Popex Graphics helps us out with that.
That's right.
And people just go to iymoney.com.
Right.
It's all there.
If you put your cursor over sponsors, there's a drop-down menu. You can click on any one or more of them. All of their contact information and biographical information is there, and they're all great successes with Richard, working with you over many years, right,
Richard? Too many years to even count.
There you go.
Without taking my shoes off.
Anyway, without further delay, we have another really interesting, wonderful, accomplished guest tonight in the studio, and she is the Executive Medical Director of True Life Career for Well-Being. She's a psychiatrist, and her name is Dr. Krista Roybal. So, Krista, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Richard is our first psychiatrist we've had on the show.
I believe that's correct.
What took us so long?
What? Don Rickles didn't count?
Sometimes you feel like it, anyway. You know. Yeah. But anyway, Krista, now, why don't you tell us, you went to UC San Diego. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up in education, and then we'll get into your career a little bit, because you have a really cool transition.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, I am so grateful and impressed that you would have a mental health and addiction expert on your show. It really means a lot to me.
It takes guts.
It does.
Just for the record, I did an entire show on mental health, Richard. Remember that?
I do.
I did a whole show. I don't think anybody else in the county is really, around media here, has devoted this much time to mental health.
It's an important topic.
It really is. I mean, with the percentage of people that have mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in Los Angeles County, and I went to LA County High School for the Arts. I was in the first graduating class. Barry Manilow was at the graduation. He donated all the music instruments. I was in dance and theater.
Oh my gosh.
And I came down to UC San Diego and got my bachelor's degree in literature. And in my senior year, I was living with an ENT surgeon, and she was like, "Why are you studying literature? I think you'd be a really good doctor. You should come with me to the hospital." And, you know, I was young and impressionable, and she was a good friend of mine. And I did go to the hospital with her, and they were dissecting the neck. And here I was with all of these residents. And I said, you know, to spend your time in people's lives and to be able to transform and be involved in healing in this way, I want to do that.
Huh.
So I went back to school, finished my degree, took off a year, and then did all of the prerequisites for medical school.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. So then you went from arts to science, literature to science, right?
I did. Basically. Yeah. So from literature, then I went into medical school. Then I did another fancy transition. I went initially to UC San Francisco for family practice. Mm-hmm. And in the clinic, I felt like no matter what people's chief complaint was, if it was knee pain or headaches or gastrointestinal problems, they would end up talking to me about depression and anxiety. And I was like, is it me? Mm. Or is this just a very widespread issue? And I wanted to spend more time with people. And in clinics and the way that corporate hospitals are right now, there's a real time constraint. So I transitioned there to psychiatry and ultimately came back to New Mexico.
Came back to San Diego. Yeah. My main complaint about traditional medicine is the way they handle their workflow, the way they process patients. You don't really have time to have discussions about anything.
That's true. Hmm. Yeah. There's been a big transition in, you know, corporate medicine, and with insurances being so involved, we don't get to spend the time that we need with patients.
So then you've struck out on your own and you've developed a whole new approach to mental health, and we'd love to hear more about that. So tell us, when did you open this new office, and tell us what you do.
So True Life Center for Wellbeing is an integrative mental health and addiction treatment center. We're the first and only in San Diego integrative treatment center. We combine science-based medical approaches with holistic modalities, and this combination allows us to treat the whole person, which is one of the fundamental cornerstones of integrative mental health. Mm-hmm. The whole person, meaning not just the physical disease, not just the illness, but the emotional, mental, psychological, spiritual components of who they are.
And I think diet has a lot to do with our health, too.
Oh, right? Lifestyle choices are a big part.
You know, I was on a flight, once, and there was a gal ordered a cup of tea, and she was a little bit corpulent, and but she pulled a box of sugar out of her purse and put 9 or 10 or 11 teaspoons of sugar into this cup of tea and drank this thing. And then she did it one more time during the flight.
She didn't even need to be on the airplane to be flying.
But I'm just saying, obviously, you know, there's going to be some kind of issues going on there, right? I mean, if you got to carry your own box of sugar.
Absolutely. You know, so. I mean, the way we think of lifestyle choices is that they actually can have a bigger influence than genes. Mm-hmm. And we can't do anything about the genes that we have. Those are predetermined once we're on this planet. But diet and physical activity, stress, sleep, quantity of exercise, relationships, work, that all has a huge, huge role in how we feel. And it's a huge part of what we do at True Life Center for Wellbeing. We address all of those things in our treatment.
Well, we talk on the show all the time about wealth being many, many things more than just money.
Yeah.
In fact, the money isn't even necessarily in many cases important. It's health, it's relationships, it's your involvement in your community. It's ways to try to find to leave some sort of legacy behind to make the world a better. It's all of these things. But I think a lot of people get hung up on just the one issue, finances, wealth, work.
Yeah, I see
status.
At the top of your list, you have alcohol addiction. Are we making some good breakthroughs in this? Because obviously it's a problem for a good segment of people, right? Are there some, is it medicine? Is it, what are they doing now for, is it group therapy? Is it?
So we take an integrative approach to addiction treatment, and we have really good results at True Life Center for Wellbeing. We use all of these different modalities. Mm-hmm. So we definitely do groups, but there's a lot of individual work. There was just a study that just came out that only 1/10 of people are using medications to treat alcohol disease. And actually, the treatment is extremely effective. So that is one component of, you know, the psychiatry that we can offer, is that medications can be very effective, especially in early withdrawal. So when you're initially sober, you don't feel good. So you've made this huge life decision to get sober. And that initial stage, kind of the post-acute withdrawal phase, there people have anxiety, insomnia, they have tremors, they have sweating, they don't feel good, their mood is disturbed. And so we wrap around them and wrap services around them, all of our integrative care at that time to support them through that. Because once they can get through that and have a little bit more stability of their nervous system, they do quite well.
Yeah, our veterans are obviously having problems these days, at least a percentage. I mean, you said...
Backing up to percentage, what percentage of the U.S. population has a mental health condition that would be considered, shall we say, significant?
Well, the numbers are between 1 in 4 or 1 in 5.
Okay, so 20 to 25%.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very high percentage. So, I mean, there's not a person who either themselves or their family member doesn't have something, depression, anxiety, bipolar, alcohol.
Sleeping disorders?
Absolutely. Yeah, sleeping disorders. You were mentioning post-traumatic stress. I mean, that's a very big
one. Well, we had Dr. Jeff Rowe on when I interviewed him, and he's, you know, these stressors that come up in our life, whether you lose a loved one, lose a job, lose your house. I mean, if you hit four or five of these all at once, I mean, any one of us, that was his point. He said we're all susceptible to this, and, you know, we should reach out and get help if we feel we need it, you know.
It's a really good point, and actually that makes me think of the preventative component of this, is that we don't just treat illness at True Life Center for Wellbeing. We think about optimizing wellness and not just treating the disease. So if we build these skills and practices and they become a part of our life, exercise, meditation, diet, good relationships, then when these things hit, because life is going to hit, these circumstances are going to happen.
Life
happens. That's out of our control. Yeah.
Now, do you lecture at all? Because I think more people need to hear this message. Do you get out and do some speaking at all?
I do. Yeah, I actually do. And we are going to be starting a series of lectures at True Life Center for Wellbeing. So on our website, we're going to be publishing those and get that out.
Excellent.
And to destigmatize mental health altogether, right? Yes. If we're talking about 20 to 25% of the population that has a mental issue, then why is it such negatively thought of?
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back with more Rich Your Money and Your Life right after this.
Now, it's Your Money and Your Life on AM 760 KFMB.
Alrighty, we've never used Barry Manilow before
Barry
in the show.
Barry Manilow, yeah.
But that's in honor of Dr. Krista Roy Ball, who, Barry Manilow, tell us again about his connection.
That is so awesome. So Barry Manilow donated all of the music equipment at LA County High School for the Arts, and I was in the first graduating class there. Fantastic school.
He was the first commencement speaker?
Was the first commencement speaker. He was at our graduation, and he sang. He might have sang this one, actually.
Did anybody ask him who Lola was? I'm just curious.
And he's been alive forever, and he wrote the very first song.
He did. I write the song.
He's had a lot of work done, too, but anyway.
Yeah. What? Separate issue.
Hey, Krista, you probably don't know the reason why, but I was reading somewhere where San Diego is the sixth most depressed city in the country.
Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, my joke was the Chargers or the Padres, but seriously, you know, we got this great weather, great place to live. We're by the ocean. Why would that be?
Oh, that's probably got more to do with statistics in terms of just the percentage of people that get depression. And we're the seventh largest city in the country, so that makes about sense. It's about that number. But what I find fascinating and what comes back to True Life Center for Wellbeing is that two-thirds of people with depression seek out care that's alternative or complementary.
Okay.
And they don't tell their psychiatrist about it. Mm. And part of the beauty of True Life Center for Wellbeing is that we have everybody under the same roof. And so we collaborate. In fact, we call it the four-prong approach to collaboration, in the sense that we collaborate with the patient, with the family, if they so choose for the family to be involved, with each other as a team of providers, doctors, and holistic providers, as well as with professionals in the community. So we're getting all of these minds and all of our focus and goal on the healing of the patient.
I think a lot of people move here from other cities and they're running away from either a bad home situation or, and then they come here expecting, having high expectations, and they realize they're just carrying their problems with them. Do you think that's part of it too?
That's a really nice thought. Of course. Yeah.
So, anyway.
So, Krista, I've witnessed a fairly new phenomenon over the last 10 years or so. I call it an addiction to technology. Is that real? Are there a lot of people who have become somewhat addicted to all these devices and things that constantly preoccupy them?
You know, sadly, we're seeing that more and more. I'm hearing that more and more. And even though I don't treat adolescents, that's a big issue that I hear a lot of parents talking about, is technology, including, you know, video gaming and spending tons of time in front of the screen, one form or another. There is lots of research that shows that creativity, productivity, innovation is depleted and made less optimized with the amount of screen time that young children are spending.
Mm-hmm.
Kids out, get them creative, get them dancing and singing and playing in the trees.
Dancing to Barry Manilow.
Dancing to Barry Manilow, that's it.
I don't know. That might give me a little mental problem. A little bit, you know.
A little
one,
bit.
One song is okay. All right.
That's right.
Whatever. But How do you like that, Richard?
That's good, Joe.
Weight management's on your list here. Do you have anything good for weight management? Because I'm kind of struggling myself.
Joe's working on his weight management.
I'm drinking water right now, though.
So we have a mindful approach to eating, and meditation is a very big part of our program. Mindfulness in general is bringing your attention to the moment and to whatever you're doing in that moment. That attention alone changes the structure and function of your brain. So many people say, no, I can't meditate because I'm not good at it. And I try to share with my patients that it is actually a rep, as if you're doing it in the gym, that you want to bring your mind into focus, bring your attention to your breath or whatever thing you're focusing on. And that is a repetition that actually beefs up the prefrontal cortex of the brain.
So like just 10 minutes a day would make a big difference?
Actually, 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Even just 3 minutes a day. I mean, there are over 300 studies that show even short, brief meditation each day can make a huge difference. It affects, and there are benefits to depression, to attention deficit disorder, to drugs.
So it's just shutting everything down and try to just experience nothingness for 3 minutes. Is that it?
It's experiencing attention to one thing, noticing and allowing, giving space to just what is. And, you know, there's a phrase in the mental health field that we say pain times resistance equals suffering. And the only thing that we can really change, pain is part of being part of the human condition. Mm-hmm. Suffering as a result. We can change the resistance factor. So if you decrease the resistance.
Which is how we respond to things.
How we respond.
Right.
So if we allow for things to be what they are, if we provide some space and acceptance to that, and meditation helps tremendously with that.
I've heard a lot of great things about it. I mean, for years, you know, I don't know why we don't aren't more aware of it. What would be the best time of day to do this, or is it just relative to...
I would say the best time to do it is the time that you are most opt to do it. So I always was a person that said, oh, I want to meditate in the morning. It's better, blah, blah, blah. But I just don't get up and do it. But in the evening, I do. And I've made it a regular evening activity. So even if it's middle of the day, whatever time of the day, that's good. 3 minutes is enough. I mean, CEOs have found this, and many CEOs have found that, you know, they're more productive, more creative, more innovative, more focused, all of those things by creating a meditation.
You know, we had Erwin Jacobs on here, and he's a big proponent of classical music. He says it takes your mind to another place. I'm going to send him a note about this, too. Maybe we'll have all Qualcomm.
I have tons of literature I'll be happy to share with you, Joe.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Krista, can I back up and ask a question about alcohol addiction treatment? Is there a trend in the industry now or the profession towards more intensive outpatient approaches?
Oh, thanks for saying that. Our signature program at True Life Center for Wellbeing is intensive outpatient program.
It is, okay.
It absolutely is the trend. What we have seen is that, and insurance companies know this, is that outpatient treatment is just as effective as inpatient and rehab, and we're about 25% of the cost. So it costs 25% or 75% less, and you get the same results.
Wow.
In our program, we customize it. So not saying that you would, but if you came in, you would get an assessment. I would spend time with you. I spend time with every single person who comes in and get an assessment. And we create a program, an intensive outpatient program for that person. So it's 9 hours a week for 6 weeks. And it is intensive. And then we create an aftercare program for them. So it could be up to a year, but it's, you know, we're not going anywhere. True Life Center for Wellbeing will continue to see you after you go through the intensive outpatient program.
I mean, your center, you opened the center fairly recently, right?
Yeah, in February of this year. Yeah, it's been a dream of mine for a long time, but it was born on February 3rd, 2014.
This is great.
So, Joe, did we mention the website yet?
Well, I'm going to right now. It's truelifewellbeing.com, and it's Dr. Krista Roybal and Dr. Christy Lamb right now. You'll probably be expanding your staff.
Actually, we have 15. So we have a meditation instructor, Luis Morones. He's been teaching. He started meditation in 1978. We have two nutritionists. We actually, you'll appreciate this, Richard. Exercise is part of our program, and so we have an exercise consultant who creates programs that gets people actually moving and gives them goals. Two therapists, Dr. Nancy Shaw, who's a mindfulness psychotherapist and Christopher Willem. So we've got a very extensive staff.
And we've got to wrap it right there, folks. But thank you so much, Dr. Christopher Ball and Susan Gwynn. Thank you, Richard. Good seeing you this week. Thank you, Mike Hansen, for making a song go down the board. And thank you to Craig Blank, your con executive, and Dave Sniff, our programming genius. IYMoney.com for
everybody, get out and vote on June 3rd.
That's it. Good night. We'll see you next week. Take care.
You guys are awesome.
Good night.